Steve is becoming a very close friend. I met Steve probably a year and a half, 2 years ago, something like that. Steve leads a church in Hull who do a huge amount for the community. And he's an inspiration. He's got, when you talk to him, he's got all sorts of things going on. But he's a man who really cares for people, really cares for those who are lost. And I've invited him this morning because I'd love him to speak to us. So, Steve, feel free to do whatever you want to do.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. Good morning. Good morning. I've moved a bit nearer so I can feel I can see you, scare you a bit more. Well, it's great to be here in Orpington tonight. It was so wonderful. I've been here before. And the building looks beautiful. Whoever chose the colours, very good taste. Grey. I'm doing exactly the same colour in my building at the moment, all right? We're having a £250,000 rewire in my building. It's an absolute nightmare, but the paint's finally going on. It's looking fantastic. And the new windows and everything. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you're newer to this church than I have been. But it's just great to see the physical things that God's doing. But also, I'm very excited what God is doing among you and what God is going to do with you. So it's wonderful to be here with you. As I said, I've been introduced to Steve. My wife's Jo. She would have loved to have been with you. We've had quite a busy couple of weeks. Last week, we were in the Isle of Wight with one of our churches there, Apex Church. That is such a beautiful place to go, the Isle of Wight, I tell you. Anybody been to the Isle of Wight? You kind of don't want to come off again, do you? Absolutely beautiful island. Well, I did, because I get very bored after a while. But it was beautiful. And seeing what God is doing there in our church on the Isle of Wight, our Regions Beyond Church, it was just so exciting. And I've moved to Hull 14 years ago with my wife, Jo, and my son, Caleb. My son lives in London. He's 19. He works in the city, works for Kurt Geiger. Anybody got any Kurt Geiger handbags? Carvella? You're not posh enough here, are you? We get them on the £5 sale that he gets. So my wife has 4 Kurt Geiger bags, but they all cost £5 each, so there you go, rather than about £200 each. He doesn't make handbags, he works in the computer department, that's what he does. Well, as we've established that church in Hull, we've been through some incredible joys and some real difficulties as well. And a few years ago, we were given this building. We bought this building in the city centre, and God has grown us. On a Sunday now, we're gathering about 250 people from a wide variety of backgrounds, 30 different nations, which is what I love. It's great to celebrate what God and the diversity in God's family. And from our building, we run a life college that skills during the day. We run 13 courses during the day where people can just come and learn a new skill, build confidence, make friendship, really try and decrease isolation in the city. We work a lot with homelessness as well. We have showers and a laundry in our building. We have 2 rehab houses where we're trying to help people come through and out of addiction. We also have the food bank based with us. And we do a lot of support around mental health, because I think mental health is probably the key thing for the church and our communities in terms of depression, anxiety, and other mental health. And of course, we do the normal stuff of church life. And we're actually having a month this month. We call it a month of encounter, where we're gathering at different points each day just to seek God together. 3 years ago, we planted a church in the east of the city, and we're now in the process of planting into the north of the city. And God's been really good to us. We've found an incredible facility in a new health center, and it had a community hall which wasn't being used for the community. So I challenged the council and said it should be used for the community, and I'd like to have it. And they said, I'm really sorry, but you're going to have to pay a service charge. And I thought, okay, we'll think about that. But then I spoke to somebody else in the council, and they said they'd pay the council charge, the service charge. So one council department has sent me an invoice from the council, and another council department has paid the invoice. So it's kind of worked out. That's typical, isn't it, of how sometimes authorities and local authorities work. And as I said, our building's under a lot of construction at the moment. We're opening a school in January 2020 to particularly help children at risk of exclusion. So life is busy, but I love it. I love what God is doing. And alongside all those joys, there have been pressures. A few years ago, I had quite a dramatic event in my life, which kind of led to symptoms of post-traumatic stress. We had a senior leader die, leaving a widow and two sons. And then we had a father with a family commit suicide. So at times it's been really painful as we planted that church 14 years ago from scratch. But despite all that pressure, I'm so grateful to what God does. Even through the, we sang this morning about, even through the tears, God is working. Well, this morning I just felt again as I was praying for you. It's one of my favorite messages, my favorite parables we're going to come to in the moment. But in Matthew 11, verse 12, it says this, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God has forcefully advanced, and the strong take it by force. The kingdom of God was mentioned 82 times by Jesus. And in God's people here, we're called to bring God's kingdom into our everyday lives, to bring his rule, his reign to the people around us, as you're going to do with as you go onto the streets and share Jesus, but also in your workplace, in the different communities that you're involved in. Unity Church is called to bring God's kingdom here, particularly in Ramsden and Orpington. To bring, you know, Jesus said, when the disciples says, how do you pray? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. And I know that's your heart's desire. It's what we see of God's kingdom, where there is so much joy and peace and healing and restoration. We want to see God's kingdom come, don't we? To not just our lives, but our families' lives, our community's lives, the places that we work in, our schools. And so I want to look at a parable that's going to help us think about how does God's kingdom come? And it's only a couple of verses. Thank you, somebody's going to read it for me. But by the time they got up, no, don't worry, she's panicking again. By the time he got up, he would have sat down again. So I'm going to read it to you. He told them another parable. A parable is just a story with a meaning. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. I wonder if you have a look at this picture for me here. Now, I've heard there's one gardener, well, at least does the weeding anyway. Anybody else like gardening? Oh, we've got a couple of people. But does anybody know what plant this is? Any idea? I'll give you a bit of a clue. This is the Latin word from it. Can anybody read that second word? Japonica. Think of a country that might be like that. Japan. There's a clue for you. Japanese knotweed. Japanese knotweed. Now, Japanese knotweed was brought in by the Victorians to the Britain because it's a beautiful ornamental plant. In fact, you can actually eat it. It's a bit like rhubarb. You can eat it. But the problem that they discovered and the problem we're discovering now is that it grows very, very fast. In fact, it can grow 9 feet in just 10 weeks. And the problem with knotweed is it's invasive and it begins to break down the earth. It can break up the concrete. It can destroy foundations of houses. My parents live in Shoreham-by-Sea, very posh, very nice place down near Brighton, which is where I was born. They bought a new house, and they got the house very cheaply because they had Japanese knotweed in the garden. Because once you get it, you have to treat it, because it will just grow and grow and grow, and you have to declare whether you have Japanese knotweed. So they decided they would treat it, but the more advice they got and discovered, they decided they really needed to get rid of it. Because, you know, even a tiny bit like that, you could cut it. If it fell somewhere, it could grow again. It's a weed. It's invasive. So they spent £20,000, and they dug up the whole of the garden, the earth, down to several feet, and it went off, and they replaced the soil. It's invasive. Why am I telling you about Japanese knotweed? Well, it's to do with this. See, this parable is a word picture which uses a picture or a story to illustrate a truth. And Matthew places the story of this mustard seed in the middle of a story about gardening, which Jesus commands the people to let the weeds and the wheat grow together. Then he tells the listeners that the kingdom of God is like a mustard tree. The mustard was invasive. It was an aggressive annual weed, and it was a pain to the Hebrew gardener, as annoying as knotweed would have been. And the thing is, gardeners and farmers, you don't plant mustard seed, and certainly not in your field. It's crazy. Because as you plant this, it would have attracted bugs, bacteria, and birds that not wanted, because they destroyed the crops. In fact, Jewish law forbade mustard seed to be planted in the garden. So can you imagine, here's Jesus with a Jewish audience, people who understood about gardening and agriculture, and he talks about you plant a mustard seed in the field. Well, again, of course, Jesus loves to offend the religious mindset. And there's three things I want to draw out of this picture. The first thing is this. The thing about God's kingdom and this mustard seed is that it grows. This mustard seed that grows into a tree shows God's kingdom is advancing and will expand all over the world. And one aspect of that kingdom is his church. Of course, when we read the story of the early church, Jesus just gathered the 12 disciples. Then we read a 72. Then in Acts, 120. And then, of course, the Holy Spirit's poured out on the day of Pentecost. Suddenly 3,000 people get saved in a day. As God comes, a demonstration of God's kingdom on earth, growth begins to happen. Why is the kingdom of God breaking out in Ramsden, in Orpington? Because that's what God's kingdom's like. It grows. It expands. Today, billions have been affected by the kingdom of God affecting their lives. And as part of our family of Regions Beyond, we have a part to play to continue to see that kingdom come, not just where we live, but in new nations, new areas with the gospel. Did you know, as our family of churches, Regions Beyond, we're planting a new church now every 2 weeks across the world. That's what we're a part of. This kingdom is growing. Part of God's kingdom is his church. Isn't that incredible? So when we pray for what God is doing here, as we pray for the nations, we're seeing God's kingdom is coming. You know, there in Lesotho, the landlocked country in South Africa, you know, when there's a funeral, somebody dies in the village, our brothers and sisters hold the funeral. At the funeral, they preach the gospel. People, of course, always come from a funeral from the surrounding villages and areas because they have some link with the person and, of course, to enjoy the food, which always happens at one of those funerals. As they come in, they hear the gospel, people get saved. Guess what? As they get saved, they're from a village over there that's never heard the gospel, that doesn't have any Christians. Now they have, and then we plant a church in that village and we begin to raise up those leaders. So that's part of what God is doing. Suddenly the kingdom breaks out of funerals and the kingdom pushes in another village. That's what God's kingdom is like. And of course, we're called to pray. We're called to give. We go to the ends of the earth and with this gospel. I don't know about you, but sometimes I get sick of other Christians. Of course, not you. I'm sure you don't get sick of one another. But I'm talking about sometimes the complaint. The church is declining. It's difficult. England's a hard place. It's hard to reach people in Orpington. It's hard to reach people in Ramsden. People are self-sufficient. Let's remind ourselves of this parable. Jesus said that mustard seed would grow into a tree. Now, we don't have many gardeners here. Some churches I go to, they've got lots of they've had landscape gardens. You knew a lot about gardening. The thing about this mustard seed is it doesn't grow into a tree. So here's Jesus saying, here's a mustard seed, it grows into a tree. I don't think Jesus understood nature. I don't think, you know, he was involved in creation, was he? He just gets things wrong, Jesus. Some of you are thinking, Dave Bell, kick him out. Of course, Jesus was involved in creation. Jesus knows everything. So why is Jesus saying to this audience, this mustard seed will grow into a tree? Why? Because God is the God of the impossible. Amen? He's the God who can do much more than we ask or imagine. You see, we're not part of a normal kingdom. We have a king who is the King of Kings. We have a farmer who's the creator of the universe. We have Jesus as head of his church, this church. It's not normal. Something can grow from 120 to 3,000 in one day. There can be greater kingdom impact in this area as we see his kingdom breaking through you and I and through the church that God is building. The kingdom is growing and it can't be stopped. It's like this knotweed. It can grow at such a rate and suddenly it pushes up under the concrete. It pushes up under the foundation. It begins to shake things. It can appear from nowhere. It can turn up in all sorts of places. God is breaking in. And like weeds appear out of concrete, we need to look, where is God's kingdom breaking through? Do you know that person you thought would never respond to God? Suddenly they begin to ask questions. The people group who are so hardened to receiving the gospel suddenly become open. The kingdom grows. You know, through our drug rehab program, we had a guy called Adam who came to Jesus on our Alpha course. Really experienced God for himself. And sometimes when people are coming out of addiction, it's not helpful they stay in the same place because of all their friends and connections. So we sent him to another rehab center. When he came back to share his testimony at our church, what God had been doing in his life, he'd met an old friend on the street called Jay. And she was very addicted to cannabis. And she spoke to me. She said, I'm really struggling. I can't go a day without cannabis. It's really hard to work, to function. And he said, you need Jesus, Jay. You need to ask him to forgive you and to set you free of your cannabis addiction. So there on the street, he just prayed with her there and then. And she got set free of her cannabis addiction and came to know Jesus. She got a job in an off license. And people would come into the off license. A woman called Gemma came in, started talking to Jay. Said, I've got a bit of an issue. She said, I'm addicted. She said, I've been through a lot of struggles in my life and now I'm addicted to drugs. And Jay said, well, Jesus has set me free. He can set you free, but you need to come to know Jesus. So she led Gemma to Jesus. Then Gemma told her friends. Last week, a friend of mine was driving along in the car. And they were inviting a friend to our Alpha course. As they were driving past, Jay was in the car. She was in the passenger seat. She undid the window and shouted to my friend. She said, guess what? You know my mum's just been on the Alpha course at Jubilee, yes. She became a Christian this morning. The kingdom is growing. The kingdom is growing. God uses one person and begins to see the kingdom breaking in. So the kingdom grows. Second thing is the kingdom is powerful. In the days of the Roman Empire, mustard was a sign of power because of its fiery, spicy flavor. Does anybody use mustard seed in any of their cooking? Yeah. Because it's got a bit of a kick, hasn't it? A bit of a punch. A good flavor. And there was Darius, and he was an incredible ruler, king of the Persians. He invaded Europe, and as he invaded Europe, he was met by the troops of Alexander the Great. Now, in those days, they didn't have Facebook to taunt one another, or Twitter, or emails, or the media. But they used lots of letters and symbolic sort of pictures that they sent to one another. And this is what Darius, he sent Alexandra a bag of sesame seeds as a taunt, indicating he had a huge amount of soldiers, which he did. So a massive bag of these sesame seeds. Ha ha, we're going to overthrow you. Alexandra sent back a bag of mustard seed with this message. You may be many, but we are powerful. We can handle you. And of course, guess who won the victory? They did. Jesus is illustrating with the mustard seed that his kingdom actually isn't about power that crushes, but being crushed. See, Jesus triumphed over his enemies, not by taking up the sword, but having a sword thrust in his side at the cross. See, if you use mustard seed, the mustard seed needs to be crushed, ground, broken, cracked, in order for the power to be released. In John 12:24, Jesus says, I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. You see, we're part of an upside-down kingdom. We celebrate a king as we have this morning, whose body was torn apart and blood poured out. So as Christians, we don't need to be affected by just pushing ourselves forward, shouting the loudest, making the biggest fuss. Instead, we serve. We're humble. We put others first. And the power of that advances the gospel. And I know there's many people here, as there always is, who face major challenges and pressures. Many of you have faced disappointments, even in your Christian life. And we have felt crushed. However, if we allow God into those difficult hurts, he can use that crushing to release greater power. You go through cancer and you feel crushed. I know we were sharing how emotional it was. But through the crushing, God gives you a greater acknowledgement of who he is and what he can do. Through your pain, through your disappointment, through your crushing, God can release a power if we allow him to. Because the kingdom is powerful. And for some of us, we maybe feel a bit powerless sometimes. Probably think this, it's really scary. There's no way I'm going to go out on the streets and tell people about Jesus. It's hard enough at work where I'm the only Christian to be a witness. I do feel weak. I do feel I haven't got much to say. But the reality is you're like that mustard seed. Because the kingdom of God is within you, the Bible says. The kingdom of God is in you. The kingdom of God is in you. And if we allow the power to be released, we can be powerful. You are powerful because you have God's kingdom. Turn to your neighbor and tell them they're powerful. Now, your neighbor on the other side thinking, why did they turn to that neighbor? Tell the person on the other side if you've got something on the other side. Tell them you are powerful. And do you know, as a church together of mustard seed, what power really, sometimes we may feel a bit small here on this estate. You may feel we're a bit insignificant, but my goodness, the power of God's kingdom working in you can bring great effect. What you think can only grow into a little shrub can grow into an incredible tree. And lastly, I want to share this. The kingdom is for those in need. And that's what really excites me about this parable. It says, in this tree, the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. As this kingdom grows into a tree, and then the birds come and perch in its branches. Now, I know somebody's going to go, talking about, where's he gone? Has he disappeared? Oh, no, you're going to go and work with chickens and ducks, aren't you? That's what you're... Well, the thing is, with farming, any kind of farming, and particularly arable farming, when you plant the seed in your ploughed land, what's the last thing you want to do? Be done with that seed?
Invite the birds.
Invite the birds. You do not invite the birds in. So what do we do in England? I'm glad you answered me.
Oh, man, really?
Oh, so he knew straight away. Give him your scariest face.
Oh, man, I can't do that.
Thank you for doing it for me. Yeah. Oh, there we go. What do you think? Oh, he's smiling. He doesn't look scary enough. I think. Come on. This is better. Come here. Come on. Come on. I think you can do a scarier face than that. Come on. Come and scare away the birds. Come on. Yeah, oh, yeah. Wurzel Gummidge, that was. Wasn't it? Brilliant. You put a scarecrow, and that's what the English do. They put a scarecrow to scare away the birds. Now, actually, in modern farming, they have big sonnet booms that try and scare the birds away. And the allotments, we try all sorts of things. We put the old CDs on now to try and flash to try and scare away the birds. But God is the farmer in this story, and he plants the mustard seed for the birds. The word Jesus uses for birds here is the word fowls. We're not talking about beautiful canaries coming, beautiful parrots coming into the barn. We're talking about fowls is the word that was used for the detestable birds, the ones that ate the animal carcasses. Imagine the vultures, the ones where the blood splats everywhere as they go in. They're eating the maggots. They're not the birds that you would expect. What is God's saying here? What is Jesus telling us? He's saying this kingdom is for the lost. It's for those without shelter and hope. It's for the frustrated and despairing. It's for the despised and the outcast. It is for the poor. Jesus said, on hearing this, Jesus said to them, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners. You know, there's people here that are living out for Jesus in their everyday lives. They're serving people in need. Do you know that's so effective? As a church, as you want to serve this community, sometimes the poorest in the community, the most isolated. For some of you, you have chosen jobs where you're serving people and loving people that others would say, oh, why are you working with them? Doctors, nurses, working in schools, healthcare. You are a powerful mustard seed, and your love and compassion has effect. And in our daily lives and as a church community, we need to be those that welcome the fouls, that bring shelter in, to be a church that welcomes the least, the lost, the lonely, the broken. And not put up scarecrows to scare them away. Because churches can have scarecrows. You know, there was a church in Hull I heard of last year where one of the leaders of that church stands on the door, and if somebody comes in, smells of alcohol, says, out. Scarecrows, well, you have to pay for the tea and coffee. So if you haven't got the money, you kind of feel awkward. Scarecrows where they preach sermons which are like lectures and nobody, unless they've done a university degree, can understand. Churches where the person looks up and down at you as they come in the door as a visitor and kind of communicates, we don't normally have your sort here. We have churches that have lots of scarecrows. And I know you're not like that here. But sometimes we can have attitudes like that. When we show hospitality. Who do you have in your home? Are they people just like you? Or are they people that, they might not be like detestable. They're not going to be smelly necessarily. But they might be, oh, I'm not sure. They have different thoughts of me. They're not quite me. Their culture's different. We can have a scarecrow attitude in our heart. And God wants to challenge us on that. You know, when we started Jubilee Church in our city, we met on an estate very similar to this. And actually, this estate actually had a very poor reputation. We didn't advertise where we were meeting because we didn't want loads of Christians to come. We wanted to begin to reach out to the community. That's how we started. And about a month in, we're two beautiful Nigerian women coming to the church. Have we got any Nigerians heritage here? Oh, fantastic. Brother, come here. Come and sit in the front row for me. Point to you. You're the only brother. She's a sister. Come here. Because he recognized this. So he sat there. And this Nigerian woman, I could see her nodding in the sermon. I was thinking, praise God, we're going to have Nigerians in my church, because every good church has Nigerians in. And I was thinking, and then she came up to me at the end, and she went like this. She went, Pastor! There are too many people smoking at the front of your church. And I was scared. I was scared. I said, so I stood back, and I thought, what's she saying? What's she saying, this woman was? She was saying there were too many people smoking at the front of the church. Now, I deal with addiction. I help people get out of addiction. I don't agree. Smoking's not a good habit to have. But what she was saying was this. We don't want those sort of people shouldn't be in church. They shouldn't be allowed in. They have to get cleaned up first. Don't welcome the dirty and the broken, those with addiction. They need to look beautiful. So what I said is, Madam, I can recommend two very good churches for you. Here they are. And gave her those things. Why did I do that? Is it because I didn't want to welcome that woman? No, I did not, because she had a religious spirit. And that attitude all of us can have. Not like me. The joy is that our church is full of Nigerians now who love Jesus, who aren't religious, who say we want to welcome them in because we want to see them come to know Jesus first, encounter Jesus. And as people encounter Jesus, then their life begins to change. Not the other way around. We welcome those who may be, we don't want to be a holy huddle, a middle class church, because we're called to reach those with the gospel. So if somebody like, unlike you, comes and sit next to you, are you welcoming, inclusive? What about in your home? So when we hear about Unity Church and this community, what do people say about it? Oh, it's a nice church. It's a lovely church. It's lively. It's growing. We want all those things. But primarily, this church needs to be known as a church for the broken, a place of protection and shade. The church where those broken pieces make an incredible, diverse picture. God is calling us and calling on his people to affect the poorest and most need in our communities, in our workplaces. What is God calling you to do? What is he challenging you with? Because God doesn't want to encourage us that we are like that mustard seed. But if we're truly to be that mustard seed, we grow into a tree and we provide shelter for others. That person at work whose people ignore. That person in the community that everybody makes fun of. That person who's not like you, we suddenly embrace. Say, come under this tree because I'm part of God's kingdom. Jesus was known as a friend of sinners. Let's stand together. Would the band just like to come off? I think we're going to sing a song in a moment, but I want to pray before we do that. So God wants to encourage us. His kingdom is growing. His kingdom is powerful. But his kingdom is for those in need. Let's just come before God. Maybe there's something that God is beginning to speak to you, challenging you on in your own life. Father, we want to be like you, Jesus, who was called the friend of sinners, who loved people, who went to the broken, the lost, who often the religious hated. Why would he go to be with those people? Well, that's who you came for, Jesus. You came, it's not the healthy that need a doctor, it's the sick. And Lord, help us to be those who continue to go to the sick and to see them come into your kingdom. And Lord, that we would affect things around our lives, but also those around us. Come, Lord Jesus. Maybe there's something, as we've been sharing this morning, you just need to ask God, forgive me, God. Or maybe somebody's come to mind when I've talked about some of those examples. Why don't you just now just either ask God to forgive or pray for that person, that God will give you a heart of compassion. For some of us, we're working in careers where we've got compassion fatigue. We've given out so much compassion and now we've just become cynical and cold to people. And God wants to reignite our compassion for people. So just allow God to do that now. Maybe we've tried to reach out to certain people and they've let us down, they've disappointed us. So we said, oh, we're going to forget that. You know, we're called to be people that reach out to those around us. God, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Fill us with fresh faith, fresh grace for people. Lord, that we would bring your kingdom in. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.